This is 98.1 FM, Raglan Community Radio, Irirangi o Whangaroa. Hello, kia ora, my name is Jason. I teach holistic health and healing, and welcome to Your Health, Your Choice, a show that guides you on your healing journey, helping you choose your own healing path. And today, to help us on that path, I have James. James, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you, kia ora.
Now, I came across you at a workshop you presented at the recent Spirit Fest. It was relating to authentic relating. Do you want to go, let's start with, how did you get into this work?
Into coaching and facilitating. Actually, I would say that it came about because of the COVID lockdowns.
Oh, well, there you go.
I've spent about 25 years in personal development and self-help. And during the lockdown, I realized that these skills were very much going to be helping a lot of people that were in close quarters with friends, family, people that they were locked down with, and they actually just forgot how to relate to one another. And so a lot of tension, right. A lot of stress, you know, a lot of things going on at that time, and people were really having difficult relationships, really, because they hadn't had to relate with each other so much for so long, you know, because they do their jobs and they see each other for a little bit in the evenings or on the weekends. But now, you know, when the COVID hit, they were forced to be in close proximity to one another, and a lot of relationships were really struggling at that point. So I was happy to bring all those years of knowledge and skills to the forefront and be able to help people. That's what got me into it.
So you were here in New Zealand at that time?
Yes.
Yep.
You know what? The end of this month, the 29th of July, so I don't know if we're going to date this or anything, but will be 22 years that I've been in New Zealand.
Wow. Amazing. And where are you from? Where's the accent from?
The accent you'd probably be picking up mostly would be the southern accent. So I was raised in Arkansas, born in San Diego, but I was only there for, you know, till as a baby. But by the time I got to Arkansas, I got the southern twang.
Cool. It really stands out here in New Zealand. I mean, when I was at your workshop, I was like, man, this guy sounds cool. I don't know if it's the accent or what he's talking about, but I'm really digging this workshop.
Oh, good. I'm glad you were there. Thank you there.
No, that's awesome. I mean, yeah, so it was authentic relating. And what does that mean to you? What is that word authentic, or is it together, authentic relating? What does that mean?
Authentic relationship. That was a little something that I had to learn myself about being authentic. Because we're given lots of ideas of how we're supposed to relate to one another.
Yes.
And we have a lot of these ideas and paradigms and rules about rules of engagement, if you will. You know, and politeness and that type of thing. And
like social etiquette.
Exactly. And, okay. Exactly. And you know, those have their place. And those work really well in environments which, you know, it's they're brief meetings and you know, it's good to have that, you know, just keeps everybody safe. They feel safe because they know what to expect. You know, somebody stick their hand out to you, you know, oh, they want to shake my hand. Now you kind of second guess, you know, this whole COVID, should we fist bump. Or elbow, you know? So I'm saying some of the rules are changing, you know? But authentic relationship is a personal journey. It starts from the inside. You have to have that first authentic relationship has to be with yourself, the person you're looking at in the mirror. If you don't have that one sorted out, you're not going to be able to relate authentically to anybody else.
And authentic, what? Because, you know, that can mean quite a few things. Do you have that defined for yourself?
I think each person is going to kind of have their own definition of authenticity. But for me, what I mean by authentic is it feels natural. It feels true.
Okay.
It feels you're not playing into a paradigm or a rule. You're being honest and truly honest and vulnerable, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that's where you're going to find the authenticity with yourself, is when you can look in the mirror, look in your own eyes, and say, "I am living my best version. This is the best version of me." And, you know, part of one of my Facebook pages, Living Our Best Version Every Day, love,
right.
L-O-V-E. So I think when you can look in the mirror and you love what you're looking at, and it's authentic, it's unconditional, it's true, that's to me.
So authentic, so I was thinking it means to be honest, and maybe to be honest to the extreme, where you're not, you know, you're honest all the time and every second and every moment, you're telling people what you think. But what you're saying, authentic, is being present to the moment and showing up in that moment as you feel called to.
Absolutely.
Not as you feel pressured to, as you feel expected to, but oh, this moment, this person, this is the situation I'm in, I'm gonna react or respond this way. Being real.
Yeah. And I think, you know, like you said, you know, whether you say say what you're thinking, I think all that also has to be within context.
Yeah.
You know, if your significant other says, how do I look in this dress or how do I look in this outfit, choose your words wisely. You know, and authentically, but you know, you
choose your final words wisely.
Yes, at that point, you might, you know, you'll have a possibly, we use this quite often in the coaching, a reframe. You know, so rather than saying how you really think, oh, that looks too tight on you, or what, you know, something like that you might say, oh, that's authentic, but rather you might say, well, I actually like the red one, you know, that type of thing. So you're still being authentic,
yeah,
but you're not does that make sense? Yeah. I mean, so because you know in your heart what you're wanting to say, so you also have to be. It's not always about being blunt. That's not necessarily authentic, or being without tact. That's not necessary. I mean, you can call that authentic if you want, but that's also kind of inconsiderate.
Well, to me, like being real in life is you are living. You're not in this world by yourself. No man is an island. So in order to live this life and to have a good life, you need to be in good relationship with others. So how can you be real right now with this person and maintain that connection, maintain a good relationship moving forward? Now, you know, there's going to be some times where you can give tough love, but, you know, most of the time, virtually, you know, like 99% of the time, you're going to want to give someone a remark that's positive and uplifting, and that can also maybe give them some feedback, but in a very, you know, positive way, a kind way, because you're being real, because you're wanting to keep that relationship moving forward. To me, that's what it sounds like. To be real in this life, to be authentic, is expressing yourself while maintaining relationships.
Absolutely. I think so. I think, again, the key for being in an authentic relationship is having that authenticity with yourself.
Right, yeah.
How you love yourself, how you show up, how you are your best version. And only you know what that is. And if you're standing in that, then you still have to have communication tools and techniques. I mean, that's part of what I do as a relationship coach, is I help people to reframe a statement, or to reframe what else could this mean? You know, because part of the things I use is a thing called the four agreements. You know, we're impeccable with our word. We don't make any assumptions.
Don't take things personally.
Exactly. You know the one. And
always do your best.
Always doing our best. Yeah. Exactly. So those are four key parts of being authentic. So I think if you can live by those four rules, you're pretty much going to be living an authentic existence, if you will.
And that's a good point. You got to be authentic to yourself first in order to be authentic with the world. And to me, that means, okay, I'm thinking this thing. Is it true? Is this real? Is this thought real? Does it match reality? Well, I'm feeling this way. How does this feeling match with my thoughts, and how does this match with my experience of reality? So, you know, I mean, the biggest, I mean, there's a saying I like, it's an African proverb, when there's no enemy within, no enemy outside can hurt you. And people are worried about all these people over there and all these bad people there and angry people. And well, if you have made peace with yourself and you can be real with yourself, then it's easier to be real with the world out there. And any issues and trouble that's going out in the world, you'll be able to face it more from a foundation of strength and vulnerability. And like you said, being real with yourself helps you be real with the world instead of living in some sort of delusion, which I'm seeing a lot today. You know, we're seeing a lot of people living in that because they're not being real with themselves first.
Exactly. No, that's right. And that's where that first part of being authentic in any relationship is the relationship you have with yourself.
And that's a question I ask as well. Like, do you think it's possible to love someone else if you don't have love for yourself? What do you think?
Not authentically. No, because it goes back to that. I mean, you know, we have different ideas and definitions of what love is. And each person is going to have to find out what that is for them. And that comes right back to being authentic. And if you can authentically love yourself and who you are, and you show up as your best version, then you're going to be able to attract someone that can also appreciate that quality within you. And that's one of the things I ask quite often with relationship coaching is, why are you in relationship? And
that's
and quite often I get different answers, but I mean, I'd pose that question to you. If you're not in a relationship, do you want to be in a relationship?
What about, do you ever pose the question, why or do you ever ask anyone, are you in a relationship with yourself? Like, are you in a conscious relationship? Do people know that they're in a relationship with themselves?
I've never posed that question to them. It kind of comes out in the coaching that, we do. Because that initially feels a little bit weird. It's like, what do you mean? You know? So that's usually one of the, I guess you'd say, it's not a stumbling thing, but it certainly is a point of confusion, because sometimes they come, well, I want to know how to relate better to my partner. That's what I wanted to come to this workshop for. And you're telling me I got to relate better to myself before I can have a relationship with my partner. Yeah. And I'm like, yes.
Yeah. But you can work on yourself in relationship with others. So
absolutely.
I like to say, there's nothing you need out there in the world. Everything you need, you actually have. It's all within, you know, all the power, all the gifts, all the talents you have inside. But in order to express that and express your full potential, you need to be in relationship with other people. You need to be in relationship with the world. It's that external relationships that will bring out what's within, right?
Absolutely.
So you can't do it alone. Again, it's coming back. Look at yourself, but also look at yourself in relationship with others. And it's only together that we'll be able to reach our heights.
Absolutely.
But we have to look within as well. A lot of people are looking outward and they're sort of putting a lot of blame and responsibility outward. But if we turn that light around, we can look at ourselves as well.
That's it, man. That is absolutely it. And then that's the beautiful thing about relationship. Like I said, I pose that question sometimes as to why are you in relationship? And some people will give me, oh, well, I want this, I want that, I want to feel this, I want to feel. So anytime it's a I want, you're going to struggle having an authentic relationship.
That's how I was going to answer. Now I feel.
Well, that's where you're going to struggle, because right. You're looking for something outside yourself that you want to relate to. And the more authentic relationship would be that if you want to share. Or if you want to, so it's a giving. You go to relationship to give, not to receive.
So I'm not. So if you say I want to be in a relationship to get, versus I want to be in a relationship to give.
Yes,
that's a lot more.
Yes,
real,
because that
you're standing on something real there.
Yes, because if you're looking outside yourself to fill some sort of need, you know, if you're looking for that relationship to give you some sort of validation, or that relationship to give you something that you need, then you're not going to be showing up in your best version, and you're not going to be showing up authentically. You're going there. You're almost kind of in a transaction,
yes,
more than a relationship.
Wow. You're getting deep, man.
Oh man. That's part of, I guess it's, you know, I've been doing it for long enough now. It doesn't seem that deep to me anymore, but you're right. When I first started unraveling this stuff, man, I discovered so much about myself, and I'm like, oh, okay, now there's patterns here. And it goes back to very early models, you know, relationship models that we would have patterned off our parents, off TV, off characters.
And this is why you see people go with partners that resemble their parents, their mother or their father's like, you know, that person's like, what? And they don't even realize it at the time, eh? Because there are these patterns that we repeat these patterns. They're a part of us unconsciously, but when we can bring consciousness to them, we can choose to change them. I did the speed dating, the conscious spiritual speed dating at the festival, and one of the exercises was to meet up with a partner, and then we'll ask each other, we would tell each other, this is one of my patterns in relationship, which is quite a question to ask someone you just met for the first time, it's quite something to share with someone you've met for the first time. So yeah, I remember that question. This is how I am in relationship. And then they would share, this is how I am in relationship. Oh, great. Imagine if everyone did that, you know, sort of get it on the table, out in the open. This is how I am. Can you deal with it?
Or, yeah.
You know.
that's wow. I wish that I could have sat in on that workshop.
Yeah, that sounds interesting.
What was it called? Consciousness?
It was spiritual conscious connection speed dating. Something along those lines. I'd never done speed dating before, so that was brand new to me. And then there's this whole spiritual aspect of it.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, you know, it goes pretty deep, and it was good. But just imagining like people sharing these, this is how I am. This is, you know, or maybe even if they know why, you know, this is my pattern, and this is because maybe that's too deep on the first date.
Well, yeah, I guess I don't know. I mean, that's there again. We're into those ideas and rules about what's appropriate for a first date. What's appropriate, you know, and we have these ideas about how we're supposed to behave. And sure, most people will come up doing their best behavior because they want to be seen in the best light, which is not necessarily who they really are.
Yes,
you know, may not necessarily be their authentic, raw, vulnerable self, but like, you know, the way we're taught to interact with one another is totally different. You know, they want us to put our best foot forward and maybe get a second date. And so you already immediately start building this relationship on inauthenticity, really, you know?
Yeah, you're presenting yourself a certain way. And maybe if that's known, maybe if people are consciously aware, oh, they're presenting their best self, this is my best self, let's let these two meet, and eventually we'll come to our not-so-best selves. You know, maybe if there's consciousness around it, it's not too bad.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's exactly right. I mean, we'll want to make it through these challenges, you know, with interacting with one another, because we have our own insecurities, we have our own human needs. We talked just briefly about in that workshop that we're trying to realize on a subconscious level. We'll compromise our morals and our ethics and values to meet these needs on a subconscious level, and we're not even aware of it. And so it's one of those things that as we become more self-aware, then we can also be more aware in our interactions with one another.
Ultimately, that's my goal. That's my end game, is to help someone raise their self-awareness, is to bring more self-awareness to people in the world. That's what I'm all about, really. So talking about those needs, I want to talk about two of them, and one was certainty.
And yes.
What was the inverse opposite?
And the opposite of that was uncertainty, or another word for it would be variety.
Variety, yeah. Yeah. So certainty and variety. Can you talk about those two? We were talking about this briefly before we hit record.
Yeah, absolutely. So the idea of certainty is it's a human need that we have to feel certain in any given situation. You know, the roof is not going to cave in, or the floor is not going to fall out below us. We have to have a sense of safety, certainty that we're going to be okay. And so one of the things that I do with my clients is we actually start looking at, what do you do to fill your need for certainty? You know, and so when they start realizing, oh, this is all back on me, because sometimes you watch children even in a playground. I remember when my little girl was there, they would tend to want to gravitate towards some of the older, just a few years older, because they found certainty in having an ally that could possibly protect them or look after them, or, you know, a bigger brother, a bigger sibling, or whatever. So they found certainty in those kind of relationships. So same thing later on in life, you might try to find certainty outside of yourself by going to someone you think can provide for you or take care of you. And so you're not truly being authentic in that situation, because you're trying to find certainty on the outside. And
right.
So one of the things we need is certainty. The flip side of that is we can be so certain about something that it becomes boring. I know that this is how this is going to play out. This is what he's going to say. This is what she's going to say. We're going to do the same meal, the same dinner, the blah, blah. And then so you start becoming discontent with all that certainty. So then you start finding ways of meeting your need for uncertainty or variety. So you might pick an argument, or you might, this is all happening on a subconscious level, you know, but it creates that variety. Or and people, and you know, sometimes, and you're like, well, what did I do? Why are you coming after me? And unbeknownst, and then the other person might even say, well, I don't really know why. But that's what it is.
Yeah.
Now you kind of have, oh, okay, so they're really just needing some variety here. They're needing some uncertainty in this situation. So it's kind of ironic that that those are two of our human needs, you know, that are opposed to one another.
Yeah, there's this relationship therapist, Esther Perel, she talks about that as well. Like, there's a need for mystery and desire.
There you go.
And an adventure, you know, as well as certainty and stability. So it's having those two parts of our needs to dance with each other. And is that why do you think that we get a lot of people cheating on each other, because of these needs not being met?
Quite possibly. Yeah. And that's it. They're looking outside themselves for that variety. They're looking outside themselves for that certainty. And quite often that's exactly what leads to
right. So it's possible affairs. If you're in a relationship that's very orderly, very stable, same old, you would go towards someone who's very chaotic and just adventurous and crazy, and vice versa. You're in a very crazy, chaotic relationship, which is fun, but then sometimes you just want to go with someone who's a bit more cool and chill. And
and so what I like we were briefly talking about before we started our interview is each person is going to kind of have a different little mix of that. Some person is going to need more certainty, less variety. Another person might need more variety and less certainty. You know, the needs are still there.
Yeah.
But what degree is going to be individual. And it's kind of like we're talking about with the seasonings of food. Some people like more seasoning. Some people like less. Some people, you know, so the need is there. It's a human need that it's not just a want or a desire. It's truly a need that we will attempt to fulfill, compromising morals and ethics. And sometimes people have even said, you're like, I don't know why I did that. I don't know why I cheated. I don't, you know, and they really don't, because they said, there's no reason to, you know, there was no reason for me to do that. And fact of the matter was, they were feeling a bit stagnant in the relationship. They weren't getting the attention that they wanted, or they needed that variety. And so once you understand how these human needs play out in somebody, then you can be more authentic in your own relationship, you know, and you can say, okay, hold on, let's make some effort here to create some variety. Let's create some interesting stuff. Let's do, you know, and it's conscious, you know.
Yeah, you're not conscious. Yeah, it comes back to, so if you are unconscious to these basic human desires that you have, then you'll engage in behaviors unconsciously and not see the reasons. Oh, I don't know why. But really, there is a reason why, but it's so, you know, it's unconscious. It's unknown to you. But when we bring more consciousness to these needs, and then we'll see what we're missing in this relationship, we can try and bring that into the relationship.
Yep.
So we don't fall outside unconsciously.
Exactly. And each person, that's the thing, each person's got to realize they need to find a way in which they meet their own need for variety. And if you want variety, create variety. You know, whatever it is that you want, you create it. And it'll benefit everybody in the relationship. But if you were to say to your significant other, partner, oh, you're just so boring, we never do anything fun, man, defenses are going to go up. Yeah. People are going to feel protective. So that's not the way to go. I mean, you'll create a little bit of variety in that moment, because
there'll be an argument.
There'll be an argument, exactly. But if you want an authentic connection with that person, and you want authentic variety, something that is actually beneficial to the relationship, then you say, how can I make this interesting? What can I do? And then more times than not, the other person is going to love it too. You know, because you're coming from a place of authenticity, not a place of manipulating.
Or fear. So it's like, you know, I've heard it, you're either coming from a space of love or a space of fear.
That's it. Every action either comes from a place of, exactly right.
Yeah, and fear creates connection, and fear creates disconnection. Mm-hmm. Love creates connection. So that's a good point.
Exactly.
Sounds like there's a lot of work that I have to do, James. Can't I just let someone else do the work for me?
Well, wouldn't you wish? Wouldn't you hope? You know, and that, funny you would say that. It does seem like a lot of work. And as a coach, that's part of my job, is to help individuals that seem like there's this bit, a lot of work, to simplify it, right, to make it simpler. You know, and I think you're into gut health and food, right?
Yeah, it's very similar. Yeah, yeah.
So you're
when people learn this stuff, it's big, it's huge, it's, oh, I can't climb this mountain. Yeah.
You know, whereas a person that's worked with this, they can give it to you in digestible ways. Yeah. And action, you know, like like you said before, every action we take either comes from a place of love or a place of fear. So when we start on this journey of self-improvement, self-awareness, if we are doing that from a place of love, you know, that this is, I want to be my best version. For who? For me. You know, and if you can live your best version every day, that is an act of love. That's where I put that little acronym together, living our best version every day, L-O-V-E. There's a little B in there.
Yeah.
But the idea is, you know, if we're doing that, then we're gonna have, not, you won't have to have motivation. It'll be more sustainable. You know, because you're coming from that place of love, and it doesn't take as much effort when you're coming from a place of love. It
right.
feels more natural.
It's like being in a job that you love versus being in a job that you hate.
That's it.
When you're in a job that you love, the time flies.
Yeah.
And you're full of energy, but in a job that you hate, the time slows down, and when you get home, you're tired,
you're exhausted,
drained.
Absolutely. Yes. That's it, and that's the key, and that's a good indication as to whether or not you're trekking on a path that's right for you is your energy. Check in with yourself. How am I feeling about this? Do I feel drained? Do I feel excited? Do I feel depleted? Do I feel, you know, like...
Uplifted. So this is just general life advice.
Like, absolutely.
This
doesn't have to be,
relating to health and more and relationships and more, anytime you're engaging in the world and you feel drained, there's something there for you to look at because, hey, maybe this is not the path I should be on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And as a coach, that's what I help empower my clients with is asking these questions, you know, because, well, maybe they didn't take the time to ask themselves. And that's where a coach really holds that space. And we ask little questions that can make big differences.
I've been told by people that I ask too many questions. But I'm like, how are you going to find out anything if you don't ask, you know?
That's it. And the key is to, when you ask that question, just giving them time to really... Because sometimes they just want to give you the first answer, and they want to give you the answer.
And they want to make sure it's the right answer. This is the one he wants.
Exactly. So quite often you just have to end up rephrasing that question again. And pretty soon they'll get down to the truth of the matter, which sometimes could be seven questions in. and at that point, they get to the feeling. And feeling is actually where we as humans exist and perceive. Everything that we encounter in our existence comes back to feelings. We're not just logical beings. We are feeling beings. And so that's how we evaluate whether or not we enjoy somebody's company. How do I feel about this person? I enjoy hanging around with Jason, man, you know. Yeah, that's a feeling.
That's the saying, hey, you won't necessarily, people don't remember what someone said more than how they made them feel. And you're right, it's all about the energy that people give off.
And that's it. And when you're self-aware and you tap in, you touch in with your own, check in with your own feelings about anything, then that's going to guide you, and it's going to help you to be authentic, because that's the telltale sign, and that's where you're going to find fulfillment. That's where you're going to find joy. That's where you're going to find success. You know, I'm doing the air quotes. You know, because people say, "I want success in this. I want more of that." And it's going to come back to that feeling. Well, how do you feel about that? Because one person's idea of a successful relationship might be different than another's.
Right. Yep.
But if you are in a compatible relationship, and you're both tracking on, and you're both being authentic about, it, and that is one of the elements of that I talk about with my relationship clients, is that compatibility, because sometimes people aren't compatible, and it's not to say that every relationship can't work, but it's just there is a compatibility issue there, and that's about the fourth thing down on the list as we're working through what a person wants for themselves. And it's at some point you'll get to that thing, wow, we're absolutely not compatible. We have these other elements that are really working well. But there's just this thing that just isn't working, and it's like,
Is this because they're too much alike, too different, or what do you see incompatible?
For example, if somebody, and that's where we talk about core values. That's one of the first things we do in our
yes, same here. I like to bring to light people's values because they live their life unconsciously. I don't have values. Actually, you do. You just don't know them.
Exactly.
And I usually tell people, just print off your bank statement for the last month. Those are your values.
Yeah, there you go. That's one area there. Exactly. Where do you spend your time, your energy, your effort? Sometimes you can have conflicting core values. And when those core values are conflicting, then they're not compatible, because you don't go into a relationship to change the other person, you know. And if a core value is not complementary, then it's not compatible. And that's not to mean you have to be exactly alike or any of those things. But what it means is that they have to be supportive in a way, complementary to one another. For example, like if one person is, they're just so... we'll say money driven, for lack of a better term, since you mentioned the bank statement, and all they want is so many zeros behind that, and they don't care who they have to cheat, lie, or steal to get there. And this other person in the relationship is maybe they like material things as well, but they're definitely about, I want to be honest about everything. I don't, you know, they gave me too much change at the supermarket, so I need to go back and give that back. They didn't charge me enough or whatever, you know, those type of things. Those two people would really find that they're having arguments or disagreements on things that aren't going to be resolved.
Or they'll be secretive around each other.
Exactly. Yeah. So they don't get to be the true, authentic self. And so that is a weird example, but
that's good.
That is a means by which they're not compatible, because there's going to be, and there'll be little arguments, and there'll be little seeds of contentment or discontentment planted, and they just won't have that, the full connection, the full authentic connection that they could have, because they weren't compatible in various areas.
And it made me think, this is why there's a lot of divorces and people breaking up, is because they don't have these conscious conversations before they commit deeply. And it's only when they're committed, like there's some people that are married for years and all of a sudden this thing comes up and they've never talked about it. And one wants to go left, the other one wants to go right. Oh, now what?
Okay, well, I'll give you some absolute vulnerability here. And I may have mentioned this in the workshop. I didn't get married authentically because I wasn't aware of these things that I'm talking about right now. This is 15 years ago. Actually almost 16 years ago, got married. And I got married. I got the idea that this lovely person, this beautiful person, needed security. And I thought, if I propose and we get married, she'll feel safe. She'll feel loved. Seemed altruistic and noble enough, but it wasn't authentic. So there wasn't enough time taken in that relationship to discover each other's core values. There wasn't enough time taken in that, because I didn't even know what my core values were. You know, and she didn't know what hers were. And so a number of these type of things that got discovered throughout the years when the relationship was just falling apart.
Right.
Went to counselors, went to therapists, went to a number of things. And nobody actually helped guide us around any of this. This is stuff that I ended up having to figure out through my own journey with when I decided to become a relationship coach. That I started discovering, oh, well, that's why this didn't work. That's, you know, and we weren't being authentic. We didn't know what our core values were. We were coming from a place of neediness. What I needed was to feel like I was worthy of her love. So therefore, I needed to be her hero. Mm-hmm. And if I was her hero, then I could accept her loving me. But if she was to love me without me being a hero, then I didn't really deserve her love. You know,
right.
All those type of stories. And so, yeah, that those type of things will lead to relationship breakdown, divorces, all kinds of frustrations and heartache, because people just don't know. They don't know what they don't know.
Mm.
You know, and that's where relationship coaches and stuff can help people discover within themselves who they are, their core values, their human needs, how to meet them themselves. And then how, when you're in a relationship, you come to a relationship to give and to share and to magnify. Now, like you said before, the relationships can really teach us so much.
Yep.
And they do. And that's a beautiful thing, especially when both people are of that growth mindset. You can learn things you don't like. And if you dwell on those things, then you're going to think, well, I don't like this relationship. I don't like the way they make me feel. But if you have a compatible relationship in which you're challenged, then you actually welcome that, because you do feel the growth and you do feel more connected. This person still accepts me and is giving me the space to be my better version, to show up as a person that I know that I am.
Mm. So it's seeing obstacles in a relationship as part of the way forward.
They certainly can be. Yeah. Exactly. If they're in that compatibility range.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes those obstacles might be a sign of incompatibility.
Right.
So I mean that's where you got to get down and do the work, if you will. The being authentic with yourself.
But I liked what you said there about magnifying. When you're in a relationship, you're magnifying each other. You're making each other better. So when you were talking before about being the best version of yourself, and you know, and it, when you're modeling that, you're giving space and giving permission and allowing others to be the best version of themselves.
Absolutely, that's exactly right.
Yeah,
and part of the magnifying thing is, I remember I was fortunate enough to be traveling around Europe, and I was at the top of the Eiffel Tower, and I had my old 35 millimeter camera, you know, with a, and it had to put a timer on it. And I'm taking these self, you know, back when you couldn't do a selfie from arm's length, you know. And I got those photos, and I thought, oh man, I wish I could have shared this with somebody. So, and that was the thing, you know, magnifying, it magnifies all the beautiful things. It just makes the food taste better. It makes the scenery so much better. Oh man, try this. Oh, you got to, you know, and to have that kind of magnification of joy. I mean, it's like watching a kid open a present, you know, it's just that joy and that excitement that comes from sharing that experience. And it magnifies that. And of course, it's also going to magnify the parts that need to be looked at and about yourself.
That's a good point. Yeah. So it magnifies the positive and the negative.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, wow. Yep. Cannot forget that the shadow side. There's a light and dark too, for things. So you got to keep that in mind. But it's so true. Every experience with another person just magnifies the emotions and the, yeah, it's something, that's where memories come from. It's those strong emotions. So, you know, I reckon if you were to do a trip by yourself and then the same trip with someone else, you'd remember more on the second trip.
Absolutely.
Or if you were alone, you remember more of the experiences when you were sharing that with people.
Exactly.
Based on their magnification principle.
That's it. That's it. And we are here. We are social beings. You know, I remember one of my, I think it was a sociology course that I took, and they called it a failure to thrive syndrome. And that's where they had the groups of babies where one were just given their need, you know, their physical needs of food and warmth and all that. And then there was the babies that were, and those babies weren't picked up or held, or they weren't touched in any way.
That's right.
And then the other ones that were got everything, but they got the touch and they got the talking to and all that. And sadly, the ones that weren't touched, the ones that were just fed and I guess you'd say their physical needs were met.
Yes.
Didn't survive.
Not the spiritual, yeah.
Yeah. And so that just goes to show you, we really weren't designed to be islands unto ourselves. Relationships is really, I mean, that's why it takes, you know, I guess in nature, two bodies, to, you know, a male, a female, to create another being.
There's yin and yang energy in every being.
Yes.
In every body, yeah.
And so that's nature in itself shows you how we're all relating to one another, how we relate to nature. Nature relates to itself. And
it's just whether it's conscious and authentic or not.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Cool. So we spoke before we got on about perception, and you said we can only perceive what we have the capacity to. And from that I got, as we advance and evolve, so will our perception. You want to talk more about that?
Yeah, okay. So I guess, you know, as we talk about any of these distinctions or any of these ideas of authenticity or relationship, we're only going to see what we're able to perceive. So whatever, so if it's like trying to have tried to explain to a blind person the color yellow. If they have no concept of what yellow is, you're going to have to try to find many other means to describe yellow. All right, so with a relationship, whether it be authentic, whether it be the word love, we're all going to have a little different perception of what that might be. And so part of communicating, and that's one of the things we teach in the relationship coaching, is understanding the other person's communication style.
Right.
You know, it's almost like speaking another language. I could sit here and spout a whole bunch of, do you speak German?
No.
Okay, so I can sit here and say a whole bunch of stuff in German, and no communication would be happening. So unless you have the ability to perceive or understand that other language, it's not connecting.
Yeah.
So when we talk about perception and stuff, it's about what capacity do we have to actually have that connection? You know, whether it be language, whether it be sight, whether it be emotions, in our feelings, you know, it's, I remember working with some children, wonderful observers, terrible interpreters. They know exactly how they feel, they just don't know how to interpret that feeling. What does that feeling mean?
Yep, they don't have the ability to, they can't use vocabulary because it's just not there.
Exactly. And so quite often, you know, if daddy's in a bad mood that day, they all make an association, even a neurological association. I upset dad when it had nothing to do right. with the child. Dad was just had a rough day at work and brought that home with him. Yeah. And the kid just wanted to come hang out with dad. And dad's like, not now.
Yeah.
And the kid, you know.
So to someone who's got a broader perspective, oh, this person is acting this way. Whereas when you got a limited perspective, it's possible that, oh, I'm causing this person to act this way.
Okay, exactly. Yeah. That, you know, if you understand, and that's what we, you know, when we talk about human needs and we talk about those type of things, that's giving us a bigger vocabulary. It's giving us a bigger yes. lens by which to perceive another's behavior, mm. another's action. Even just like we talked about before, if we will accept the idea that every action that a person takes either comes from a place of love or a place of fear. So you can, you know, that kind of simplifies, you know, we're talking yeah. before about all the hard work. If we can just kind of simplify these things, you don't have to go flipping through a whole bunch of pages. Oh, what did he say? No, it's either love or fear. Mm. Every action we take. And so you can say, okay, well, that person's definitely acting out of fear. All right. So in that moment, I can de-escalate the situation by reducing or removing the fear factor. You know, and that's how you respond as opposed to react.
Yeah.
And you're doing that from a place of a bigger capacity, you know, more knowledge, more skill sets, you know, more vocabulary, if you will, you know, to that's relate cool. to.
I mean,
other
I
person.
Talk about raising, you know, people's self-awareness, but it's it would be better, I think, if I say expanding, because raising tends to go from lower to higher, whereas yep. expansion can go in any direction.
That's it.
I like that.
Yeah, expansion. Yeah.
That's what it's all about. So, you know thyself. Know thyself and you will know others and you will know the world. And the only way to know thyself is to be real, real with yourself.
That's it.
With your strengths, with your weaknesses. And yeah, when you're talking about vulnerability, it takes strength. It takes courage and strength to be vulnerable, to share deep things. And that's also part of authenticity is being real and vulnerable. So to be authentic is to be strong as well.
Absolutely.
It takes courage and strength to be and express your real self, especially in, you know, in today's age where a lot of people are told to be a certain way. If you can just be yourself, man, you stand out from the crowd.
Always.
Yeah.
That's it. And, you know, especially with social media, you know, we're getting all these ideas, all these visual cues as to how we're supposed to be, you know, especially young people. You know, and right. they're at a very formative age right now.
Looking at other people's highlight reel. Yeah. Yep.
And it used to be magazines. And, right. you know, so it's just a different.
But those people weren't normal or real, whereas these ones, quote unquote, seem, these influencers seem real.
Exactly.
They seem, quote unquote, real. And, oh, that's just like me. They go to school and do all this. And, oh, they work at this retail store like me. But really, they're not. They're getting paid a lot of money, or some of them are fake accounts. And, yeah.
Yep. And that's it. And you know, that's where, if we go around comparing ourselves to other people on a regular basis, we're not actually ever going to be authentic with ourselves. We're trying to be something that we're not. We are us. You know, be our best version. Live our best version every day. That's the highest form of love that we can give and share, is to live our best version every day.
Yeah, and they say comparison is the thief of joy.
Absolutely.
And you can get, well, you get what you give. So if you want to receive more joy, then you give more,
give
joy.
More joy.
And how do you give more joy? I like what you say. The act of love that you can give is to be your best self?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's it.
And by doing
living
so,
their best version every day, that's love.
Others can be their best version as well. And imagine living in the world where everyone's their best version. Wow.
Hey, that's it. Imagine
I don't know if
it.
I can imagine it. It's quite.
Imagine it, because, you know, what you said before about the, I'll believe it when I see it. Mm. Well, sometimes you won't see it until you believe it.
See it
or, you know, you won't, yeah, until you believe it. Yeah. And so if we can give, if we can give our fellow man, fellow sister, you know, when I say that just in general, you know, other beings,
yeah.
the space, the benefit of the doubt to be their best version, you know, that's not to say to be naive about it, but as opposed to automatically thinking, okay, you're not a good person. You don't know what their story is.
Yeah.
You don't know where they're coming from. So if you at least give them benefit of the doubt to be their best version, that is an act of love in itself. You know, and if you can imagine other people doing that, you know, they did this thing some time ago, pay it forward. You know, what a beautiful concept, pay it forward. You don't wait till somebody does something for you, so to speak. It's like, no, and if people will get into that practice, you'd see the whole world changing so quickly, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But because they're not coming from a place of love, they're coming from a place of fear, because we are hardwired for fear. Fear is a protection mechanism. And we definitely needed that back when, you know, when we were being chased by dinosaurs and stuff, but not so much anymore. I mean, now we can have calculated fear, which is basically just being aware of your surroundings, being sensible in a situation. But if we're in an environment in which there isn't that need for, you know, immediate survival, you know, there's nobody coming at you wielding an axe or a sword or guns or whatever. If you're in an environment that doesn't have an immediate threat, then you can certainly make a choice to come from a place of love.
Yep.
And act accordingly. And give your fellow human benefit of the doubt, you know? And give them that space for love.
It's all about giving that space for love. I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, James, that's all we got time for. That was an awesome chat. Thank you very much for coming on. I'll have to get you to come on again because there was other things I wanted to talk to you about. Where can people find you if they want to work with you?
Just easiest way is email, because that's the best way. So it's just jamesstillcoaching@gmail.com. And that's STILL, JAMESSTILL, coaching@gmail.com.
Sorted. Thanks, mate. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks again, James, for coming out to Raglan and recording this in person. That was a really good, authentic conversation I thought we had. And if you would like to get coaching on how to be more real and more authentic with yourself and with others, do email James, jamesstillcoaching@gmail.com. And yeah, that's it from me. Until next time, stay free. Be yourself. Know that you are loved and that you are love. Kia kaha.